God's good, isn't he?
Yes.
Even when you break a rib, he is very good. I want to tell you a story, quick story, before I continue on in our series on the relationship matrix. There is a woman, she was cooking eggs for her husband. She's frying eggs for her husband. And suddenly her husband burst through the doors into the kitchen. He was very adamant. He said, careful, careful. Careful, put in some butter. Put some butter in with those eggs. Make sure you got enough butter with those eggs. My goodness, don't you know what you're doing? Too many, turn the eggs. You got too many eggs in there. You need to turn the eggs. Turn them now. You need more butter. You got to turn the eggs. What are you doing? My goodness, where are you going to get more butter? You know you need that. You guys just got too many eggs in there. You need to keep it so you can control it. Now they're going to start sticking. Where are you going to get the butter? Now make sure you turn them over. Hurry up. Are you crazy? Make sure you turn them. Have you lost your mind? Don't forget to salt them. And remember, you always forget to salt them. You either put too much salt on them or you don't put enough salt on them. Now, then you got to make sure you put pepper on them. Make sure you get pepper on them. And where's the salt? Man, you ran out of salt. Did you not have enough salt? Make sure you also put just the perfect amount of salt. Put butter in the eggs. And the wife finally just turned to him, stared at him and said, what in the world are you doing? Do you not think I know how to fry eggs? He says, oh yeah, I'm sure. I just wanted you to know what it feels like when I'm driving. You guys owe me. Healthy relationships. See, I contributed to healthy relationships. You didn't need to do it. I did it for you. Now they hate me and they like you. There are rules for healthy relationships. And I think some of the problems that we have in life is we value the wrong things. Would you agree? We put too much value on things that really are not all that valuable in the scope of time. We put too much value on cars that we're going to end up trading in 2 or 3 years. We put too much value in games that we don't even remember 5 years from now. Whether you're a guy and you like football and you watch football, we put so much value on football seasons. But how many even care about a season 3 years ago? Or if you're a woman and you put so much value in having the right fashion or clothing or doing the right things, and yet those are distant memories even today. And when in reality, relationships are something designed to last forever and ever and ever. But we put almost very little time into relationships. I heard a great statement yesterday. We were at a graduation party, and the mother of the young lady who was graduating made a statement I thought was just a great statement. She said, we put so much money and time in the ceremony of marriage and almost nothing in the relationship of marriage. What a great statement, because a lot of times what we value is the attention we get. We value what people think about us, and we become relationship consumers. We develop relationships and only the kind of relationships with people that can give us something. Oh yeah, I value relationship based on what I can get out of the relationship. And so if that person is someone who's famous or popular or rich, boy, I want a relationship with them. And why do I want a relationship with them? Not because I value the person, but I value what the person can do for me. How can the person help me? And so if there is a person in my life, someone I work with, someone that I live near, someone in my family that can't give me anything, there is nothing they can give me or help me with, then I just don't spend time with them, because I'm only going to invest time in people that can give me a return on investment. Isn't that true? Think of the relationships in your life. How many relationships in your life? How are the relationships in your life that can't give you anything? There's a golden rule that we often use, and the golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Isn't that right? But as believers, there's a kingdom rule, golden rule, that says this, do unto others as God has done unto you. And what we've been looking at in this series is we've been looking at barriers to healthy relationships. I shared this before. The reason we're doing this series on relationships is because of an experience I had in the youth group when a couple of the youth said, I had told them, I said, if you bring 10 friends, I'm going to give you $100. If you bring 10, but you got to bring 10 friends to get the $100. And a couple of them, whether they were joking or not, I don't know, but they made this statement. They said, what if you don't have 10 friends? There is no way in the world that we should not have 10 friends in a world that lives in rejection the way our world lives in it. People are looking for relationships. The reason you don't have 10 friends is because you've been too selective in some of those friends. You've put restrictions on those friends, or you have not been friendly. And how many know Christians should be the most friendly people there are? Right? But why are we not always the most friendly people that we should be? I mean, why is it that we don't have the relationships that we could and want to? One of those reasons is, how many know people hurt us? Have you ever been offended? Every day. There's a lot of truth there. Right? People hurt you. People let you down. They do things and they fail you, and you have expectations on people and they fall short of those expectations. And there's some people in here that say, I really don't want relationships. I just want to get away from people. I don't want to be around them. I don't really like people very much. Right? Now, notice no one's laughing. And the reason no one's laughing is because they know what I'm going to say next. If you don't like people, there's something that's broken in you. That's not okay. See, we laugh about it. We laugh it off and think, well, that's just kind of funny. That's not a big deal. It's no problem. But, and some of you in this room are even sitting there going, well, I don't agree with you. Well, you're wrong. I'm just saying. And it's not that I'm saying I'm right. It's that the Bible says I'm right. And you should go back and listen to the last few messages, and it will bring you back to the fact that if you hate people and say you love God, the Bible calls you a liar. Because you cannot hate what God created and say you love the Creator. Because all of us in this room, and that hurts, all of us in this room are an expression of our Father in heaven. Seriously, how many want to get to know God more? Then get to know more people. Because all of us, the billions of people on earth, the billions of people that have lived, have all been unique characteristics of God revealing himself to the world. You ever thought of that? That you are a revelation of God to the world. You're part of who he is, and the gifts and the talents and the abilities and all of that stuff that you have to offer is just one part. And when people get to know you, it's like they're getting to know a part of who God is. And that's why God says to not love people around you is not to love me. It's not to love who I am. And yet, in life, many of us, we have no relationships. And how many know when you get older and the kids graduate from high school and they get married, we sometimes, as we get older, and there's couples in this room, your kids have left, and the only friendships you have are your family because you're too afraid of being hurt by people. Right? And you've narrowed down your thing to, oh, I'm only spending time with people, with my family, and not with anyone else. Now, a few months ago, almost half a year ago, I said one of the things we have as part of our body is we're a very diverse body. We're a body with over 30 different nations that are represented at Bethel's Rock. 31 nations, actually. That are represented at Bethel's Rock. People who were born in those nations and then moved here, and they're part of the church. And yet we still allow ourselves to be categorized in things that divide us. Now, this message I'm going to preach this morning. Last week I talked about forgiveness. We all get forgiveness. We all understand why we need to forgive, that if you don't forgive, you get bitter, and then pretty soon that bitterness in this relationship grows fruit and it produces bitterness in other relationships. If you don't forgive, you're going to become a very bitter person. Because unforgiveness produces seeds of bitterness, okay? That's a message that we need to apply every day. How many know we need to apply it every single day? Well, this is a very complicated message this morning, because this part of the matrix, this dynamic I'm going to talk about today, is this dynamic of acceptance. We're accepting people. And what our world is doing, and we live in a world that is constantly rejecting people based on certain things. We reject people based on their political party. We reject people based on how much money they make, whether they're too rich or whether they're poor. We reject people based on their cultural background. We reject people based on the color of their skin. We reject people based on where they work, based on what their religious background is. We reject, I mean, yesterday we went to Love Somalia. We did a Feed My Starving Children thing, packed the group that we were in, packed 360,000 meals. We're trying to do 6 million meals by the end of the weekend, packing for people who are starving in Somalia, right? And I had an interaction with a young lady under the age of 20, and I said, "You're going to come help us pack, you know, with Feed My Starving Children?" And this is the response I get. "You know, what we're doing is we're actually packing meal for people who are going to come and kill us later in life." Now, if you think this is not a serious problem, it is a serious problem. Because we are a society that is not coming together. In fact, people who are preaching unity and acceptance aren't preaching unity and acceptance. They're preaching division, just calling it that. And the Church of Christ needs to accept people wherever they're at. It doesn't mean you have to agree with where they're at. And certainly the Bible doesn't always agree with where people are at. But thank God, when He came to earth, He accepted us right where we were at. He accepted us for who we were, and He loved us. Now, if you look through the New Testament, when Jesus came to earth, Jesus walked among the sinners. He sat and ate with sinners. He sat with people and ladies who were prostitutes. And the Pharisees, who were the religious people of the day, said, "Who is this teacher that goes and sits with those people? Those are the bad people. They're the wrong people. They're the people we don't accept. They're the people, they're the stain on society. Jesus, come and walk with us. We're the right ones. We're the religious ones." And even though the Pharisees were following the letter of the law, they were following what they had as a Bible in the Old Testament, Jesus went to the unacceptable people to make them acceptable. See, I think we've made the law more important than relationship. The law, we were not created for the law. The law was created for us. The law was created for relationship, and the most valuable thing we have in life is relationships. Everything else will pass away, but your relationships with people will last forever and ever and ever. My goal for this is to provide a new lens in which to view people who are, in your view, unacceptable. People who are people you would reject. People you just don't think are the people that are at your level, that are acceptable for you, that you think you should relate with. And there's this tension between acceptance and rejection. In fact, our whole life is affected by whether or not we've been accepted or rejected, whether we feel it has shaped our life and the way we think. We live in a culture right now, we live in a culture where there is a lot of rejection and not a lot of acceptance. Would you agree with that? Here's the problem. Our bodies were designed to be acceptance magnets. We were designed to be accepted. Our bodies and souls feel attracted in environments where unconditional acceptance resides. So where there is acceptance, we're drawn to that. In fact, most of us did not choose our friends. Most of us didn't choose our friends. We simply gravitated to the environments of acceptance that there was in our life. We simply moved to those places. We are such acceptance magnets that there are people that rather be at work than at home because they feel far more accepted and competent at work than they do at home. You know, part of that is the reason why there are affairs. Men will have affairs, women as well, because they feel like they're accepted in their marriage. But when the one spouse is constantly telling them how bad they are and how much of a failure they are and how they don't do it right and how they need to do this better and how if I wish you would just do this and I don't think you should do that, and you're constantly attacking and constantly attacking and constantly attacking, that is going to drive that person to a place where they're accepted. Why? Because we all want acceptance, right? Okay, half of you want acceptance. You're all evil people, you terrible little people, you dirty little rats. Right? We all want to be accepted. And so we find places where we're accepted, and listen, we adapt to the environment. Right? There was when I first went into ministry some years ago, one of the board members that was on the board of the church we were at, a few months after I got hired and came on staff, he had an affair with another woman. And the woman he had the affair with, and this is the common misconception, that the woman that you have the affair with is always better looking. That is not true. In most cases, the woman the guy has the affair with is not better looking. Okay, now listen to this. This guy had an affair with a woman who was not better looking, but treated him like he was Superman. We found out later that his wife constantly demeaned him, constantly tore him down, constantly tried to control him, constantly, it was just a constant problem. And he ended up going to work, and at work was a woman that constantly lifted him up, constantly celebrated, constantly accepted him. At home, he was being rejected. At work, he was being accepted. And he gravitated to that relationship, and before you knew it, he was in an affair with this woman that wasn't better looking than his wife, but accepted him. Acceptance is a problem that we have on every level of our relationship. I will accept you as long as you meet my standard that I have in my life. So kids, as long as you do everything I expect of you and you meet my standard, then I'll accept you. As my spouse, as long as you do everything that I expect of you, then I'll accept you. But if you don't, then I'm going to step back and I'm going to tell you, boy, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to tell you all the things you should do and how you should do it and why you should do it. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to hound you and I'm going to beat you over the head and I'm going to preach at you and I'm going to preach at you. And I'm going to take the Bible and I'm going to tell you in the Bible why it says you should do it, why God says you should do it, why I say you should do it, why the Holy Spirit says I should do it, why everybody in society says I'm right and you're wrong. I'm sure that doesn't sound like any marriage in here. Right? Teenagers, look at teenagers. That's why teenagers will take the advice of their peers than take the advice of their parents. We are far more open to the influence of people who accept us than we are the people who lecture us. Isn't that a true statement? Acceptance is a huge part of relationships. If you want healthy relationships, you have to learn to accept people regardless of what separates you in your mind, in your argument. How many know that a lot of times we try to argue with people before we just accept people? Right? Are you with me this morning? Okay. So that's right. It's just say amen. Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Every now and then you can throw one of those in. That means you kind of agree with what I just said. You know, somebody said, we're from Minnesota, and what we do is we're really contemplating it. Sure you are. In your dreams, quite literally. Okay? Paul says this. He says, I want you to develop habits and skill of learning to accept other people the same way I accepted you. Because even though you're hearing a message on this today, it's so easy to go out and just continue to do the same thing again and again. Now, I just recently, Heather and I just finished this Whole 30 thing. And the reason you eat whole food, praise the Lord, we just finished. For 30 days, you eat just whole foods. You only eat healthy foods. And at the end of day 30, how many know that then we were going to go out and have ice cream and pizza and everything we couldn't have, right? We were going to have a root beer and do all that stuff that we couldn't do, right? Not at all. In fact, on day 31, guess what we did? We ate the same way we did on day 30. And day 32, guess what we did? We ate the same thing we ate. Because when you go 30 days of not doing it, you don't want to mess it up. Right? And the reality is what really is happening is new habits were being formed. Does that make sense? And so you get in the habit of it, and once you start getting habit, the power of habits. And in order to do that, you have to break the habits of only accepting acceptable people, and you have to establish habits of establishing unacceptable people. That means over the next 30 days, every day, you need to find the people in your life that nobody's relating to, unacceptable people, people who are being rejected. The assignment for this week, the assignment, and you all love it when I say the assignment for the week is, right? Some of you have F's last week because you didn't take the assignment last week and you do it. But the assignment for the week is to find unacceptable people in the eyes of our culture and to give them acceptance. To say, you know, when you go to an event or you go somewhere, you find people that are just not acceptable, and you go up them and you accept them and you show them acceptance of where they're at. Look at what Romans chapter 15 says. It gives us the goal. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. Interesting. What is he giving you? A spirit of what? Not division. Not a spirit to look at what separates us, what divides us, but a spirit that looks at what joins us together, that even the worst of sinners have the characteristics of God, that there is a thread that connects every one of us together, and that is a spirit of unity, that I need, and God, give me a spirit of unity, that when I speak, that I'm not dividing. In fact, how many of you, we're doing a series on Wednesday nights called the series on the parables of Jesus, and we're taking one parable and we take it. You know, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Right? In the parable of the wheat and the tares, the problem with the tare is they say, the God says in the parable, Jesus said in the parable, he said, don't separate the tares from the wheat. Here, and part of the problem was, is tares look like wheat. The only difference is tares doesn't produce fruit. It's the only difference. They look very much alike. And Jesus says, don't separate them. He says, at the end, I'll separate them. You just let them grow together. In the moment, in our life right now, we are to accept people. God will do the separating. We operate in a spirit of unity to try to bring unity. In Corinthians, it says, you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to reconcile people to God. We are to be the example. We are to be the ministers of reconciliation, where we take people who don't know God and we introduce them to the love of God. That means taking people who are unacceptable, that no one cares about, who are rejected by society or certain groups, and connecting to them and connecting them to God. But before we can connect them to God, we need to connect to them personally. Because they'll never trust you. They'll never trust God until they trust the person who's telling them about God. You have to accept. Now, look at this. It goes on and it says, so that with one heart, one mouth, you may glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go to verse 7. It says, accept one another. That seems easy, doesn't it? Accept one another. Just accept them the way they are. Well, you don't understand. You don't know what they do. Right? Accept one another unless they're not like you. Then you don't need to accept them, right? You know, have you ever considered for a moment, that someone's reading that verse because they don't want to accept you and God's telling them to accept you and you don't seem always, you sometimes are the unacceptable one? No, not me, right? Not me. I'm perfect. There is someone that is reading this verse right now out there, and the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to accept that preacher just the way he is. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to amen myself right there. That's all I got to say. Right? Here's, it goes on. It says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. Because you weren't perfect. You weren't that lovable person that you think you are. You were sometimes miserable, moody, kind of weird and strange. And God loved you just the way you are. He accepted you and he said, that's the way I want you to be with everyone else, is to accept them. I don't want you to hold them. You know, we hold people to this high standard. Have you ever noticed that everyone else's problems are a lot worse than yours? Like, my problems are sanctified. Yours are going to hell. Unless you change, you're going to hell. But me, God's righteousified me. Right? It's not a word. I make up a lot of words. I had Sheila sitting down here. She was like, you know that's not a word. I said, I know. I like just making up words. Accept one another just the way they are. Right? Look at the next part of this verse. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Now look at this part. In order to bring praise to God. Why? I'm going to bring glory to God. So every time you find an unacceptable person and you show acceptance to them, what are you doing? It's as if you're praising God. You're bringing praise to God. You're worshiping God every time you accept the unacceptable person. You see the person that no one, you go to a church picnic and or you go to a neighborhood, you know, in August, they do the great outdoor, and well, not the state fair, but the night out thing. And you go there and there's maybe that neighbor that everyone talks about behind their back. And you know that because they've talked to you and they're there and they're kind of sitting by themselves. And what do? You see that and you say, you know, everyone else is rejecting them. They even do things that are really not acceptable. They do things that kind of put them, they deserve to be there. But I want to worship God today. So what I'm going to do is move my little soccer chair right over next to theirs, and I'm going to put up with some of their roughness. I'm going to put up with some of that to show them that I accept them just the way they are. They don't have to change. They don't have to adapt. And what are you doing? Literally, what are you doing when you do that? You are showing your neighbors that I have received this kind of acceptance from my Lord. I did not deserve grace. And God gave it to me. They don't deserve my acceptance, but I'm going to give it to them freely. And when you show them acceptance, you open a door to begin to preach the love of Jesus to them, which will transform every person. But it starts with acceptance. It starts with becoming the most acceptable, accepting person there is. Now, this is a difficult transition because it requires you to die. Sign me up, right? You know what it requires you to die to? It requires you to die to needing acceptance. It requires you to die from needing acceptance from all those people that are now going to reject you because you've accepted something, somebody who is unacceptable. It's going to require you to die to the need to be popular or to have lots of money or to be famous or to be liked by everyone so that I can accept somebody that nobody wants to like. And anybody who likes them or accepts them, I'm going to hate them. Requires us to die. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, which was a bridge, by a new and living way, which is the bridge, opened for us through the curtain that is his body." That is his body. Goes on. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, that when we accept the unacceptable, we are becoming a bridge to them to come to Christ. We are the new and living way." It's the way of acceptance. It's the way of opening up the door. We built a bridge for us. He built a bridge for us to have access to cross over if we choose. God came to us and he built the bridge so we could pass over. We are now that bridge so others can pass over. Now, many of you in this room, there's just some people maybe in this room, and you're sitting here thinking, well, I like to be right. And I don't agree with what they believe. And I want to argue with them. And I'm going on Facebook. I'm going public with this. That was a stupid argument, and I'm gonna go on, and I'm right. And as you're typing, you're getting worked up more. You get in the news, and you start watching the news, and you start getting all worked up, and they got you all pumped up, and all you've heard is what they've told you all about. Have you figured this out yet? That every news station has a political position. Have you, the thing that people complain about the church is just manipulating. You know what manipulates people? The media. Right? You get done watching 1 hour of whatever it is and you got steam coming off your head. Right? You're just, you get on the radio and you listen to them and you're all upset and, we should fire the coach of the Timberwolves, whatever it is. You didn't even care when you woke up in the morning, but boy, you're on fire. You're like on the bandwagon signing up for the fan list. I mean, you're all about whatever it is. They've manipulated your emotions, got you all worked up. And what is it always to do? To reject, because rejection sells. We always reject. You know why we reject people? We're insecure about who we are. So it always helps to tear everyone else down because we know who we are and we don't want anyone else to think we're less than anyone else. We don't feel accepted. We haven't received the acceptance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and we have a hard time giving it out. So we reject everyone where they're at. We reject. If I reject and I can tear them down, then maybe it'll make me look better and I'll at least feel better about myself because I've rejected everyone else. And we reject and reject, and it's the life we're in, and we don't even know we're doing it sometimes. Some of us in this room are sitting here thinking, boy, I'm glad I don't got a problem with that. Just a news flash, you probably do. Not meaning to reject you at all. But if you've lived in this world long enough, we all reject, we reject, we reject people rather than accepting them just the way they are. We have kids, and to our kids, we think to our kids, man, if you need to do it this way, and this is how it should be done, and then we wonder why our kids don't listen to us, because they just want to be accepted. Have you ever noticed, parents, that the thing you beat on your kids the most is the thing you hate about yourself the most? And you're the one that passed it on. Do you ever notice that? The thing I do not like in my girls, the thing I don't like that I see in my girls is the thing I don't like about me that I do, and I haven't really accepted that thing in me, and so I hate it in them. It's true. Acceptance. When you sit there and you finally say, I'm an accepted person before God, I am accepted. That when I see God because of his blood, he's going to look at me and he's not going to bring up all my failures. He's not going to bring up all my mistakes. He's going to look at me and he's going to say, James, welcome home. I'm like, you know that time when he's like, what are you talking about? Come on in. You're accepted. By the way, you know how much I love you? I know the hairs in your head. Even every year as you were losing them, I kept count. This morning I was thinking, Lord, you can do miracles. If you have any leftover miracles at the end of the year, I could sure use one right now. Right? Acceptance. It isn't hard when it comes from a person who's experienced, understands, it has a revelation of acceptance. Because once you know you're accepted, it just naturally flows. And you look at people and you don't need to know who they are, and you don't need to know what position they have or how much money they have or what power they have. You look at a person and you can smile at them and go, you're someone who can teach me more about who God is. I'm going to love you. And you can look at the guy on the street who's been homeless for 4 years, and you can love him because you see the value that God holds for that man. And maybe it's you that becomes the bridge to the homeless person that doesn't leave the streets, but he enters the kingdom of God. See, you're all sitting here going, yeah, I'll be the one that goes and saves the homeless person from the homelessness. Do you know that some people just want to live in the homelessness? You accept them just the way they are, and you let what God and him figure out work. You just there to accept them and love them. Are you with me? Yeah. Acceptance isn't say, I'm going to show them acceptance so then they can come and be me.
That's good.
Just loving them right where they're at. I don't need to get them off the street. I just need to accept them. I just need to show them value. God loves them. Right? Now, I'm going to end on this story. I had a long time in ministry, a mother came into my office with her daughter, and her daughter had been to something and she had been searching. She had been in my office a couple of times asking, what is my purpose in life? You know, what's my purpose? And which seems to be the, you know, this great question. It's not a hard question at all, but she wanted to know. Well, she went to this event, not even by our church. It was on from some other thing she went to, and she felt like the Lord spoke to her and told her that she was to be a missionary. She said, I know that God wants me to be a missionary. She even began sharing it with some of her friends. Well, her mom caught wind that she was going to be a missionary. Now, her mother was an extremely influential person in the community. Really, her husband was, but she was extremely strong and overruled him all the time, did all kinds of things. And so they had lots of money. And in our community at that time in Michigan, everybody knew who she was. She was just very, and when she said, that's just, you all get an idea? And this mother brings her daughter into my office, and she says, Pastor James, you need to tell my daughter that I'm right, and she needs to listen to me. And I'm sitting there thinking, so what do you need me for? Like, okay, you're right. Now she's going to bow to her knees. She's going to cry and go, oh, no, Pastor James agreed with my mom. Right? That's going to fix every problem. I'm thinking, what is it? She makes this statement. She goes, she is telling everyone that she's going to be a missionary, and I have told her she's too smart to be a missionary. Which then I had to exercise last week's message of forgiveness. Right? Because apparently only dumb people do ministry full time, right? And she really believed that. She really sincerely believed that she was too smart and she should be, she had a job, and actually her daughter's doing that now. because she threatened her daughter and said, if you become a missionary, I'm writing you out of your inheritance and you will not be a part of this family. I will not accept you if you do what your God is telling you to do. Which is why we do baby dedications. Just in case, you know why we do baby dedications? Is because this little baby right here, this little thing, I'm going to hold this thing, even with my bruised rib. This little thing is not John and Molly's. She belongs to God. Right? So if you have kids in this room, you need to hear something. Do not claim something that is not yours. You've been entrusted that child by God, but in the end, he determines who they're to be. That young lady isn't doing what she knew God told her to do because her mother insisted that she win the argument and lose the relationship. See, to not accept people where they're at, what you're saying is, I'd rather win the argument because I value winning more than I value the person. I value being right and having my point and having the acceptance of all these people. I value that more than I value the person over here that's being rejected. Who in your life right now are you rejecting? Maybe because they're annoying. How many know there's some annoying people in the world? Can I tell you, God has put them there for you. He's saying, God's like, this is my gift to you. Amen? Amen. No amens. All right? God says, I love you so much. Here's this annoying person. Here's why it's a gift. Here's why it's a gift. Because it's in the relationship with that annoying person that God gives you the grace to accept them and you experience the power, supernatural. Remember what I told you last week? Sometimes you need supernatural power to do what Christ does. But in the midst of that, you experience the supernatural power of God in your life, the presence of God in your life. You can change the life of people by accepting them. And here's the reality. God's not asking. Like, we all think that when we got Christian, that when we got saved, God forgave me of all my sins. Praise the Lord. Grace gives me freedom from doing any of the commands of God. Thank the Lord, I don't have to do any commands of God. How many know my mama and daddy loved me, but I still had to clean the toilet and mow the lawn, right? God's not asking. He's commanding. Love one another. Accept one another as I've accepted you. As I've accepted you. Why? Because you are me on earth. We are the example of Christ on earth. Will you bow your head?